Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. In light of the news that broke yesterday about the four cancer charities that have been accused by the Federal Trade Commission in a fraud case, donors need to be careful about their giving. Today, I'll go over the seven things you need to know about giving to charity. Monday afternoon, I attended an event where a local organization known as The Bridge, which is part of Roy Moss Youth Alternatives, received a big check for $750,000 in order to build a new facility. The Bridge is a place where kids who are in emergency stress situations can find a safe sanctuary, leading them to a better life. In order to get that donation, the Bridge had to submit a grant, go through a due diligence process by the funding organization, provide architectural drawings, and also provide at least three bids from contractors who were willing to build the new facility. Next year, the Bridge will celebrate 40 years of effectively serving youth in our city. This is an example of a nonprofit that serves a need directly and has been doing a great job. There are a lot of great organizations just like this one that deserve your funding dollars and will welcome your scrutiny and your involvement with their mission. One, learn about the charities nonprofits you are considering. Before you agree to give a donation to a charity, nonprofit, or 501c3, do some research. There are two major organizations that do a lot of the legwork for you. One is Charity Navigator, with their information found on their website, www.charitynavigator.org. And the other is GuideStar, found at www.guidestar.org. These websites are kind of like a Better Business Bureau or Angie's List for nonprofit organizations, giving you basic ratings and information that can get you started. Be careful about giving to an organization that's not been around for very long. The process for obtaining nonprofit status from the IRS can take at least a year, and then, like any business, the first few years can be tough unless it is well managed and has a good business plan. If you know the reputation of the executive director or manager of the group, and if they have a proven track record of success with other nonprofits or business, then it may be worth the gamble to give to that nonprofit if it is a startup. The rule of thumb to follow is to allow a nonprofit to operate for at least 2 years and then evaluate it as a potential candidate for your giving dollars. It's easy to get sucked into telephone solicitations for what may or may not be a legitimate charity. So if you choose to answer the phone during the dinner hour or later in the evening, have your response planned ahead of time. Before the caller begins their spiel, you may want to tell them the following things: that you never give any money to a charity over the phone, even the school from which you graduated. Continue with the request for information about their website, where you can then go and do more research. Because identity theft is rampant these days, do not give out any of your personal or financial information, including your name, address, Social Security number, bank account number, or credit card number, to any of these solicitors. If you're interested in this organization, write down the website and its address, put it on your agenda for the next day, and go to work learning about what it is and what they do. Make your decision about giving in a calm and prudent manner, not under the gun of a quick solicitation phone call. Two, figure out what kind of organization to which you're giving. There are a lot of different kinds of nonprofit charitable entities out there in the world. Determine if you're giving directly to an organization that addresses a specific need, like the one I mentioned earlier, or if you're giving to a foundation or giving circle that then makes a decision about grant funding. Sometimes a foundation or giving circle may cover a specific area, like Texas Women's for the Arts, which is a giving circle that gives money to arts organizations in Texas that serve children. All the members of the group who give to the giving circle are part of the grant-making process, voting their preference for one nonprofit or another. Usually giving circles have criteria and rules related to grant submission and the awarding of grants. In addition, there are organizations like the United Way that collect funds from businesses and individuals in a community, and then, through their grant-making panels, perform site visits, scrutinize proposals, and then make decisions about how the money collected is given away. You may prefer to give directly to a charity that addresses a need, or you may like the idea of the screening process an organization like the United Way goes through to determine what and how much a nonprofit receives. It's up to you how you go about giving to charity. 3, give locally or nationally. If you're looking at giving to an organization that has a national reputation but has a local affiliate, usually you will be making a greater impact on your local community by giving to the local affiliate. Giving locally allows you to contact the affiliate in your town and make an appointment to tour their facilities, see who they serve, and learn about what kind of a difference they are making in the lives of people in your city. If you've already checked them out on Charity Navigator and GuideStar, then you have an idea of how well they handle money, how well managed they are, and how effective they are in your community. Remember that nonprofit organizations are businesses too, with local nonprofits serving as employers of citizens in your city, and via their service to others also are an economic generator like any other business located in your area. So, essentially, giving to the local affiliate gives you not only the opportunity to take a write-off for the gift that you're giving, and it also allows you to address a specific need, but in addition, you are actually helping employ people, and then when those people get their paycheck and they spend money, there's a trickle-down effect, which means that for every dollar you've given and every dollar the entity spends, you probably are helping the community 5 times what that dollar is. So I kind of like to give locally when there's an opportunity. Obviously, if there is a catastrophic event, like a tornado, flood, hurricane, or terrorist attack, you may want to give to the national organization coordinating the relief effort or research the affiliate in that suffering community and give directly to that entity. Be very, very careful here. A lot of times when there are these kinds of dramatic events, organizations pop up and claim they're a nonprofit and have some catchy name. So make sure that you're giving to a long, well-established organization that knows how to address these kinds of natural disasters or catastrophes that occur in our country or elsewhere. Don't just give because their name shows up on the television set or because you see it in a magazine or it pops up on your phone. 4, learn to research and read the IRS Form 990 and the annual reports. Every nonprofit that is recognized by the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, our U.S. Treasury, allowing contributions to that nonprofit to be eligible for a tax deduction for you, the donor, has to file an annual tax return known as a 990. There are some exceptions to this rule that involve religious organizations and also, in addition to that, some smaller organizations. But for the most part, any organization you would probably be interested in will be filing a 990. Just as your own tax return has all kinds of nuggets of information about you, a charity's 990 tells you all kinds of good things you may want to know. In reviewing 990s for a grant-making committee of an organization I'm involved with, I found that one nonprofit requesting funding for an amount of more than $150,000 owned a private jet and had to pay for repairs the year before. This was not a transplant center that needed to move vital life-saving organs to recipients using the jet to do that. But it was actually an after-school program for teenagers. The staff and board members used the jet. In evaluating that, it just seemed to me like if they had enough money to have a jet, they really didn't need the grant money that was coming from our organization, that there were other entities where that money would go directly to serving the needs of the individuals in our community. A 990 will also let you know will also tell you who the major donors are for the charity. It will tell you what the executives, as well as how much, if anything, the board members are paid. Reading a 990 will tell you how many hours volunteers contribute to the organization, as well as whether any of the board members and staff are related. Yes, it is dry reading, but after going through a few of them, it's like a mystery novel with all kinds of secrets revealed for you if you only look for them. You can find 990s online just by looking them up. Often, the charity will include a link to their 990 on their website. Your community may have foundations established by wealthy individuals that are private family foundations. These foundations may do careful due diligence, scrutinize the financials, and make careful, well-thought-of gifts to worthy nonprofits in your community. It's also possible that they have been created as a tax planning device and that their giving reflects the grantor's personal taste in giving or reflects the individual interests of the board members. Before you follow the leader and give to those same organizations, read the 990 and annual reports for those foundations to learn more. If you're thinking about following the lead of one of your local captains of industry whose name graces the new building at a local university or medical center, it is still a good idea to research that school or organization before you give to make sure they are making effective and efficient use of your money. Annual reports, just like the glossy ones major corporations circulate once a year, will show you financial information, donor information, and a year-in-review listing of major accomplishments and outlining results for the year. Filled with pictures, you can see what happened at an organization by looking at these professional presentations of what the nonprofit is all about. Some organizations don't choose to produce an annual report every year because they're not required to do so if they're filing a 990. And sometimes they wait to save money and not spend the money to produce this glossy presentation. So just be aware of that. Don't forget the website when you're researching the organization. Not only can you find out what they do and how they do it, but you can also learn if there are special services that are particular to their type of community service. One of our local museums, the McNay Art Museum, has a wonderful library open to researchers and students, both in the actual physical library where you touch the books and also online, that goes beyond their educational programs, lectures, and exhibitions, all of which are part of their mission to the community. 5, where is the money really going? What you really want to know is how much of your money is going towards addressing the needs met by this nonprofit. How much of your dollar given to the local food bank is actually providing food to feed the hungry? How much of your dollar is used for caring for and feeding homeless animals at the Humane Society? And how much is being spent for administrative expenses and fundraising expenses? If more than half the money is being spent on administrative and fundraising, then it's going to the mission of the charity, then you may want to look for another candidate to receive your funds. A rule of thumb is 20% for administration and fundraising, and the remaining 80% going to those in need in the community. Give extra scrutiny to charitable foundations that solicit funds that may be predominantly run by a group of family members. Administrative expenses in these cases should be about 2 to 3%, with the remainder, 97%, going towards the mission. 6, foundations that run donor-designated funds. Many communities have foundations that benefit the community or the area, usually established originally by a major benefactor, with the goal to give to local charities and encourage others to be able to establish donor-designated funds as well. These entities have professional staff that work to manage the assets entrusted to the community foundation, develop rapport with other like-minded philanthropists, and educate donors, nonprofits, and others about issues that concern the community. If you work with an estate planner, attorney, or accountant, you may want to discuss how a community foundation might help you create a donor-designated fund that would provide you tax benefits, efficiency in management, and a vehicle you can use to leave a legacy for your community. During your lifetime, you can create your donor-designated fund and be involved in the charitable gifts that serve your community by specifying the charities that are your recipients. After your death, donations can continue to your favorite charities or can be decided by a grant-making board of community leaders who will carry on your mission for your donor-designated funds. 2 examples in Texas of these types of organization are the San Antonio Area Foundation and the Houston Endowment. Both of these serve the needs of their communities, educate donors, perform due diligence, and provide valuable information to nonprofit organizations. 7, give to what you love. Give to organizations that speak to you. Yes, your heart may want to give to homeless animals, hungry people, wounded veterans, and art and cultural entities, but your mind needs to take the steps to make sure the money you give is being invested in a well-managed, effective, efficient organization that is truly making a difference in your community. If you make your gifts online through the website, then remember good internet hygiene. Look for the lock and the HTTPS on the page up at the top, requesting your credit card information. Make a note of the time, date, amount, and which credit card you used when making your charitable gift. When you get your bill, verify the amount is correct and highlight that transaction and record it as a charitable gift so you can use the tax deduction when tax season rolls around. Remember, too, that in addition to cash, you can give certain types of appreciated assets, like stocks and bonds, to charities, taking the full amount of the value of securities as a deduction is allowed by law, saving you from paying capital gains tax if you sold those securities and gave cash instead. You want to give money to organizations that use your money wisely, spend most of it on delivering services, and are a great value for the money you invest. Whether you join as a member, become a patron, give as a benefactor, or make a transformational grant, you want the most for your money and for your community. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at MoneySmarts, M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at MoneySmartsForYou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.